You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
And welcome to Weeby Geeks. It is episode 87. God, why do I want to say issue on this show and episode on my other show?
Yeah.
I'll never understand why.
Pretty sure you can get away with saying whatever it is because you're the boss.
True.
And we'll just nod our heads and say, yes, boss.
Pop vinyl's coming soon.
Oh, pop quiz? What?
No, pop vinyl.
Oh, okay.
That's Funko.
Gotcha.
Bobblehead.
Sorry, I just flashed back to school, and when you said pop quiz, that's the instant reaction that I always had. Oh, pop quiz!
That was always the worst.
Yeah.
That was always
the worst. I might be able to pass a pop quiz when it comes to stuff we talk about. Maybe.
Possibly. So the voices you're hearing is, you know, Marty, co-host, been here for quite some time now, and the newcomer.
We are now a part of the tribe.
Jules, and how's everyone doing tonight?
Quite well. I just got done with my first fantasy football draft of the season. So my brain feels better. I don't know what it is, but I think it's because I'm a commissioner. So I think I add more stress to myself than there really has to be in fantasy football, because none of these things you have any control over, which is some of the worst things about fantasy. It's like you want to get in there and suit up to get your points back up because you're losing to the last place team in the league. You can't do any of that fantasy. Exactly. So you know, it's one of those things you worry. It's something you can't even control, but you worry about it for some reason. I don't know why I do it. Every year at this time, I get stressed out. And it's because I'm trying to get enough players or people to play, make sure I'm getting the right players. And if I did any research, I didn't do any research actually this year. So we'll see how well I do.
I didn't either. I just went in and did my pre-draft rankings for my draft in case because they're doing it live as well. And in case I can't get there, it's like, okay, top five. These are the top five players I want. After that, whatever, goes back to the normal rankings.
Well, it's crazy to think, like, you know, I started playing in college, so we'll say, like, I don't know, I wish. Well, probably about 10, 12 years ago is when I first started playing, and we used to get together with the pads and the paper and still do the draft, and then the commission would all, you know, input it in. And it's kind of weird to see how, like, the advent of internet and people can just draft from home, because we used to, like, try to schedule it out a month or so in ahead to make sure everybody had this time frame off to be able to get together and do it. Of course, we were also younger and had no family, so it was a lot easier too.
Yeah. You had the draft party, you did the commissioner. The commissioner, I'm trying to remember when we did it. It was the same type of thing. The commissioner did all the, he went in and plugged in
all the players.
Yeah, he had the I guess there was a fantasy draft program you got, or fantasy football software you got. And then
it's usually part of the website. You know what I did? It was just part of the website. That was 16 years ago. Oh, yeah, it might have been.
Yeah, when I was doing it, it was 16 years ago. And it's like, no, we sat down and we did our draft. And then each week we submitted our starters. And it was like totally different type deal.
Yeah, like, now you can take it on your phone and you can see up to the minute stats on it.
So I was just going to say, is there like an app for it or do you...
Yahoo. I'm not sure about NFL.
I've got my league on NFL.com, and this is the first year that where you can actually, it's saying you can actually draft from the app. You don't have to be on a computer.
Wow.
You can actually just draft from your phone on the go if you want. Like, wow, that's
so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and NFL.com, their draft's run by CBS Sportsline.
Oh, is it?
I think so. Or it used to be.
I don't know if it is anymore, actually. I think they're their own separate beast now.
Yeah, my draft, or my fantasy football team's on on Yahoo.
They've always been pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, I remember the days where you had to pay for Stat Tracker for the season.
Yep.
And now it's free because, you know, CBS Sportsline was free and NFL was free. And they went back. I'm in the Sorcerer Radio League, and the only requirement was you had to come up with a Disney-themed name.
Yeah.
So I am the Figments of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Figments of S.H.I.E.L.D. All right.
I love that.
So I altered the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo to put Figment, the dragon from Epcot, which has also been the most one of the most popular comics out there. Issue 3 received a third printing or a second printing. So each issue has had a second printing.
I think it was just underestimated as to what kind of popularity it would have, because I know first one sold out, you know, quick.
First one sold out.
First issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was lucky to get the variant cover I got as well. So I got the normal cover and the variant, and one of the three variants. And I was like one of three people in our shop that got the variant cover. Was it
a 1 in 25 variant? Maybe not that high.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Not sure.
Say if your store ordered 75 copies to get 3 1 in 25s, and that's a pretty substantial order, and it to sell out so quick too.
Well, the store is a chain down here. They have like 5-6 stores, so who knows how they dispersed it.
Gotcha.
But I asked for it like a month and a half before. It's like any variant you get in, I want. They said, well, this is the only one we're getting. So I'm like, it's fine. I want.
You want it. Jules, do you play fantasy football at all?
I do not. It sounds fun. It sounds like something that I would like to do. But, like, isn't it that, like, do you get to pick all of your players, or is some of it randomized?
You can't. Well, I mean, especially now that you can set it up in your computer and it can just completely draft for you if you want to do an auto draft. And we, you know, some people don't like that. Some people don't care. So you can do auto draft. You can pick all the players for you, and you get, you know, it's based on real stats. So like when week one of the season kicks off in what, like 2 weeks, then the players that you have get points based on how they perform in the real game, and it's based off of, like, yardage and things like that. Whoever gets the most points then wins against the person they're playing against head to head. So the best way to explain it is a comedian whose name I can't think of right now. But his explanation is it's D&D for guys who used to beat up the guys that play D&D.
I was thinking of D&D when you were saying that you would do it with sit down and do it with pencil and paper, and I was like, that sounds like D&D, because that's like. Now with D&D, it's like, I mean, it's we play D&D, and there was an app where we could go on our Apple TV and we could see like a 3D view of like our people. It was so
really?
Cool. I was like, I forget what it was called. But my daughter, she loves D&D. She's 9, so she was obsessed with it. And we were like, well, we just want to play it regular. And she's like, no, we have to put it on the Apple TV. Like, she wanted to see like when she would fight the bad guys that they would get taken off. And it was kind of like chess in a way, but it was like, because it was in 3D, it was so cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, the old battle chess.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it reminded me of.
I will take this pawn. Yeah, so I mean my team is the McFly's Used DeLoreans. That's my team name that I've been going with for many a year. And so it's a fun little thing to do. And Jules, if you ever, yeah, you said you were talking before that you kind of like sports anyways, and really I mean, the NFL loves fantasy football because it is like taking their fan base up to 11, really, because now it's not, you're not just watching your favorite team or your local sports team. Now you're watching games on like Thursday and Monday night because you got some player on your fantasy team, and it's just like keeps boosting their ratings numbers up all the time. So the only bad thing is then you get like people that only think in the realm of fantasy football, and they're like, oh, why didn't you run 20 more yards and my fantasy team could win? It's like, dude, he's trying to just win for his team in real life. He's not worried about your fantasy team that's going to suck the very next week. So it's, you know, it's that those people that blur the lines a little bit too much can be a little out of hand. But otherwise, otherwise, fantasy, you get, like, I've been playing with the same group of guys for most of that 10, 12 years. And so, and that's our common thing is to come back to and catch up every year is, you know, oh, let's get together for fantasy. Oh, what have you been up to in the last year? So it's a good community.
The sad part about all that is everyone knows everyone's draft habits.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes down to, okay, something like Peyton Manning. First round, do you draft that illustrious running back that's been the tradition for the last 5-6 years, or do you go after Peyton Manning and Drew Brees? I mean, how do you build?
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, the last time that they were really talking up a quarterback to take really, really early was Michael Vick, and then he ended up just like tanking and getting hurt and not even being worth a 12th round pick almost. But that's that's, you know, that's been my evening just before the podcast. How about you guys? What have you been up to?
I was at work today. We're actually recording a day earlier than we normally do. So, yeah, I was at work. So,
fun.
Coming down from that. Cool. And Jules, what were you doing before we started tonight?
I was at work until like 9:30. And then I came home, ate, and then I laid down with my three-year-old because he's, like, just a ball of fire. So I was like, I'm going to lay down with him. That way he's, you know. And then I fell asleep. And my husband's like, you have a podcast. I was like, oh, my gosh. So I, like, jumped up real quick and ran out here. I didn't even know that I fell asleep until he woke me up. It's just, like, it just happened. So because I've been working a lot, not used to the 40-hour work week. So, and I think I was off, like, this whole, like, Friday through Monday, but I picked up Saturday. So
isn't it funny? Like I feel like I'm a pretty active guy and I, you know, stay pretty busy, but sometimes it happens to me mostly when my kid's watching like kids programming that I'm just not interested in, like, you know, Umizoomi or Dora or any of those kind of Nick shows or something like that. Like, he'll have it on and I could be fine, but all of a sudden I sit there and I'm watching it with him just to spend some time with him. And the next thing you know, I'm falling asleep. I can't stay awake. And it's just because I'm like sitting there long enough to maybe catch my breath and finally realize I'm tired. Yeah. And then my brain shuts off from learning remedial stuff. And
see, I'll do the same thing. I'll get home and I'll put on, you know, one of the shows I have in the DVR that I want to watch. I'll eat dinner and then just stretch out on the couch for a second and try and relax. And next thing I know, that show is over. It's 1 something in the morning. And I'm like, oh, I need to get into bed.
Why don't you wake up to get into bed?
Sometimes that's just the way it is. So, Jules, you had a story about Funko or the pop vinyls.
I did. So excited. Let me find it.
And I will say this news came from the guest we just had over on Mighty Marvel Geeks, Ryan Penagos. Or Penagos.
Yes.
So.
So this might be older news, but so Ryan Penagos, Marvel's Agent M, has announced on Twitter another pop figure from Funko related to Guardians of the Galaxy. I know Mike's going to be very excited about this one. It is a really adorable Howard the Duck pop doll. It's so...
Howard the Duck.
Sorry, I had to do it.
I want the Howard the Duck pop bobblehead to, when it bobbles, to start playing that song. I think it should be like, right? It should be embedded into it.
Yeah,
I think so.
I like that the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, the Dancing Groot and then the Howard the Duck, how it's just like blowing up. It's like now they have the Dancing Groot one that's going to be coming out.
That's cool. That was a no-brainer that I should have seen coming before I did. Like, you know, as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, wow, that was really cute. And then, fans really took to it, and now it's going to be everywhere. I think it's going to be, like, on the, you know, those people's dashboards that have, like, the little sun-powered flowers that move. You're going to have, like, instead you're going to have Dancing Groots on people's car dashboards.
I'm thinking Howard Duck as a hood ornament.
With a big cigar sticking out. I'm just like, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, with the way Howard the Duck is just blown up since that end credit scene, I think it'd be silly for Marvel not to utilize the character somehow in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, whether he becomes a part of the Guardians with Guardians 2 or ends up getting his own movie. It's due. A lot of people criticize the previous film, but when it came out, I mean, it was right there. It was on top of it. To me, it wasn't that bad. But I guess I'm a sucker for Lucas and I'm a sucker for Howard the Duck, so.
It had a lot of cheese. I do remember. I mean, I remember it a teenager, like thinking this has a lot of cheese when that should have been the target audience of the cheese. You know, so it was like, oh, this is.
Well, I was in high school at the time that came out too. So yeah. I mean, between that and Lea Thompson strutting in her night clothes, if you want to call it that, across her bed. Okay.
Her pajamas.
I wasn't even pajamas.
She had some footy pajamas on, huh?
No.
I don't remember. I think I'm remembering less and less of this movie as the years go on. I really don't remember. Of course, I also probably saw the TV edit version because my parents were too cheap to buy VCR for many years.
It was on the TV edit version as well.
Really? Okay.
Hey, it's her on all fours in silk panties and her nightshirt walking across the bed to Howard. Yeah.
As a young boy, I would remember something like that, and I really don't.
As a high school boy? Oh, yeah. I remember. I remember. Trying to get me in trouble, but I remember. So, but no, it's a.
You already got yours pre-ordered, Mike? You already got your pop pre-ordered?
Not yet.
Do you the pops? Do you guys collect the pops? Because there's a million of them there now.
There's a couple I would like to get. Howard will be one of those. My daughter has Yoda because she's a huge Yoda fan, so she has that. There's a couple others that she wants to get as well. She wants to get Wonder Woman. She wants Princess Leia and Ahsoka. I would love to get Cap personally. I wouldn't mind a Riddler one, being the Riddler fan I am. Aquaman would be kind of cool to get too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're definitely a cool thing. I think the pops is where Funko has definitely taken. I think that's where their niche is. They tried to do the headphones and that did okay. They tried. They owned a company. Now, I'm thinking Time Machines, which was a rival to Mimico. What else do they have? They've got a bunch of other stuff, but it's the pops that have really sold. Clone Wars Adventures website came out. Part of the package, if you bought the game disc to load it on your computer to save the time from the download and whatnot. I can't even see my screen.
I saw
little Yoda.
You got a Yoda pop.
That's
not really a pop, is it?
No,
the bobblehead.
It's a bobblehead. But what it does, I don't know if you can see it. It just sits. It'll sit on like your laptop monitor. But with mine being tilted back, I have it sitting on my CPU. It's like a ledge sitter.
Right.
And they've got it. And they've got it for a Boba Fett one. They've got a Darth Vader one. Of course, they got some from I think Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman as well. But it's still, in many ways, it's a pop vinyl. I mean, it's the same concept. Pop vinyls are bobbleheads. So
the only reason I think I bought one for the kid. I found one clearance at Target, and I got him a Spider-Man one. He loves it.
Yeah, we got two Spider-Man ones because they're like $3, and I was like, yeah. I got that too.
Oh, actually, no, I got him too. I got him a Batman one because I think it was when we first started coming out. So he's got a Batman and a Spider-Man, and that's it. Like, I'm almost scared to start buying them because I don't know if I can stop because there's one for everything now.
Yeah.
When I went around C2E2, I'm pretty sure there were at least two booths that's all that they carried was pops. That was it. And by the end of the weekend, most of them were being, had sold out, so.
Then you got you have Marvel, you have DC, you have Star Wars, you have My Little Pony, you have
Game of Thrones.
That's the ones I got really tempted with here in the last few weeks, the Game of Thrones ones, actually. I'm like,
You have Disney.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of Disney, the Wall-E one is so, so cute, and I want it so bad.
Now you tell me that.
Yeah, I could see that.
So. I don't know if there's an Eve one to go with it, but there's definitely a Wall-E one.
I'm sure there'll be an Eve one.
and if his little chest would open up too, something that would be that'd be killer.
I would seriously pay like $50 for that. I'm not even kidding. That's the coolest thing ever.
Well, here's the other fun one. How many variations of Stan Lee pop vinyls are there? Because it seems like every convention he's wearing a T-shirt with the convention logo on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I saw I guess from Wizard World Chicago. He did the ice bucket challenge.
Oh, did he?
whoever's in charge of Chicago pulled out a Stan Lee pop vinyl. And it's like, he acted like that's the first time he's ever seen a Stan Lee pop vinyl.
That's like, just because it's Stan Lee and he does that for everything. Like, oh, this is great. I wrote this. Of course I did. You know, he just plays the senile old man very well.
Yeah.
And some of it is legitimate. Don't get me wrong. Some of it is legit, but some of it's just the act. So.
Yeah, I totally get, you know, all that. You know, the older you get, the older you get.
Unless you remember.
Yeah. So, welcome to another episode of Weeby Geeks. Oh, wait.
We've already done that, Mike. Come on. Come back to us.
Do
Take
I have
your pills?
Pills? What? Just because I turned a year older means never mind.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't even say that. Happy birthday there, Mike.
Well,
since
thanks.
The last time of our podcast, you turned a year older.
Turned a year older.
I hope you got some love on the social media. I tried to point it your way, at least.
I got some.
Got some?
So,
that's good.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of...
So did you do anything special? You didn't even mention all that since...
I worked. I worked.
That's what happens when you get old. You forget your birthday and you don't even do
anything
for it.
No, it's when you only have 3 weeks of vacation time and 3 personal floating holidays and you got to schedule a 12-day trip around the holidays. Yeah, I need to save... 6 days for just in case.
All right,
and at this point in time, I don't care if work hears this or not. It's your fault for approving 10 out of 12 vacation days, and the 2 vacation days that you put me on the wait list for are in the middle of my vacation.
I've got a feeling you're not coming in for those.
Yeah, no. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be several states away.
Yeah, several 6 away. Very
yeah, soon. But... Speaking of distance, so to speak, the new poster for The Flash, which everyone's criticizing the way he runs in this poster. It's like, come on.
You run like a girl or something? What?
Well, no. The pattern, his run path is that of a lightning bolt. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like, okay, would he really run like that? I don't think so.
If they're playing him up to be as big of a show off, then yeah, he's going to run like that and make it look cool.
For the sake of this. I think that's cool.
Yeah. For the sake of the poster, he runs like that. So the poster is full of Easter eggs, big time. Like down near the bottom right, on I guess it's a chalk writing or graffiti on the sidewalk, says mm-hmm. Grood lives.
Oh, yeah.
Or Grodd.
Or Grodd lives, yes.
Gorilla Grodd, the reference.
Which,
interesting. I mean, he is a classic Flash associated villain, so yep. I'm curious how they're going to do him.
And he is referenced in the pilot episode as well,
which
they did show at Comic-Con, but there's also a leaked copy floating around the internet.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I've seen it. But sort of like that Expendables thing.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying I've seen it. Not saying I haven't seen it.
I haven't. I'm not saying I've seen it, but I'm not going to deny that there's a cage that's been torn apart or ripped open after the Star Labs explosion that has Grodd's name on a name tag hanging from it.
Speaking of Star Labs, I even see like on one of the buildings there's a Star Labs logo on there.
Yes.
I see on another building a big Q for that would be. For
Queen Consolidated.
Oh, okay.
If you look on the other side, that is Wayne Enterprises.
Oh, that was it?
Yep.
Okay. I guess I was trying to make out the logo, and I really wasn't yeah. connecting with that. What it looks like a torch or a mask or something weird.
It's Wayne Enterprises. When you look at the poster, it's the tower on the left. So. It's going to seem seamless to you, the listener, or as some people have suggested, we say, you are friends. Minions, the Geek Revolution, however you want to put it. We were talking about the Flash poster. So if we repeat briefly, tower on the left in the poster, everyone's speculating is Wayne Enterprises. While the Dark Knight is not likely to show up in the Arrowverse, where the Flash is set as well. There's just the presence of knowing that he exists in the Arrow universe, since apparently they're still talking that the Arrowverse is not the same as the rest of the DCCU. which is so stupid.
But it does kind of make sense, though, that if Wayne Enterprises is this big multinational conglomerate, it should have buildings in some other places. Same with Q Tech or Queen Industries, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, whatever they want to call it in this universe, that you know, they should rightly have buildings and places of operation in other cities. So that's kind of cool.
Right. Now, if you look across the street from the Grodd Lives, mm-hmm. or Grood Lives, Big Belly Burger.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of the famous franchises in the DC Comics.
Mm-hmm. Makes you wonder, I don't know if they touched on it much in the little bit that he was on Arrow. Are they doing like the whole high metabolism thing where he's got to like constantly eat to keep up the speed? Did they touch on that?
Hope so.
I don't remember in the pilot episode.
Yeah, because then that ended up playing in pretty heavily with the previous one with John Wesley Shipp,
yeah.
Yeah, that he was always like constantly eating to like keep up with the metabolism, to keep up the super speed. So that makes you wonder, since they are showing a burger joint, does that mean that he's going to frequent that, and it's going to be, you know, two superheroes, a girl and a pizza place or something like that?
Yeah.
Now
they say the blurry blob on the left hand bottom left supposed to be Palmer Technologies, and it should be similar to the TV or to the ad seen in a previous TV spot or the Flash TV teaser.
Okay.
You also see Star Labs.
Yep.
Which is where the particle accelerator exploded. You see Ameritech, which is the company that employed John Henry Irons.
Oh, okay.
AKA Steel.
Yeah, which people may remember from the Death of Superman storyline. He picked up the mantle of Superman after he passed and made his own suit of armor and became quite the established Superman character since then, actually.
So could we possibly see Steel show up in this?
Could be interesting.
You also see Cord Industries.
Right. The name of the original Blue Beetle.
True. Mm-hmm. And we know that Ted Kord was who Arrow wanted for the role that eventually is going to Ray Palmer. But I guess Warner Brothers had other plans for the character. Could these other plans be Flash? Mm-hmm. This is going to eventually spin off. They might as well go ahead and do it. Spin off a Justice League TV series that's totally separate from, you know, from the other, you know, from the movies.
That would be great.
The only problem is going to be is if they're using Flash in the movies, how do you justify Flash on TV, Flash in the movies, if they're two different Flashes?
You say that the Flash of the TV show is Flash of Earth 1, and the Flash of the movies is Flash of Earth 2, and then you can have the Flash of Two Worlds storyline, the very classic one where you have, you know, two Flashes rushing to save the same person.
Yeah.
At the same time, in parallel universes, and blow people's minds.
or do they go Wally West in the movie and keep Barry Allen in the series?
Yeah, I could. I like
mine better. It's a good idea. Now, the article that I got the poster from mentioned something about Stag, but I didn't see it.
You mean like a bachelor party Stag?
No, Stag as in Simon Stag's company, which I'm not sure who Simon Stag is, but I don't see it. Mm. I just don't see it in the poster. I mean, there's one sign just past the Star Labs, but I think, but
that's
I can't.
Parking.
Is it parking?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see anything that screams Stag.
Yeah.
I mean, so maybe it's a stretch. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think at least, if nothing else, that they are trying to incorporate this character into a world that if all of these things existed, all of these characters did exist, no, whether we see them or not is different, but at least if they did exist, this is how the world would look and feel. Like we'd have all these different companies, and at some point they would cross over into different cities. They wouldn't just be only located in Gotham or only located in where is Arrow in Seattle, or where is he located? Starling City. That's what it is.
In the series, it's Starling City, but I'm hearing speculation that Starling City, because of the whole earthquake machine scenario and everything else, that they're rising up from the ashes and probably will rename themselves Star City.
That would be cool because that's what was always in the comics. That's what it's gonna be. But I know when they relaunched Green Arrow with the New 52, they actually set them in Seattle. So I didn't know if there was any if they were trying to make Starling City maybe a more western coast, because Star City's always been a little bit more Midwestern kind of feel.
See, I always had the feeling that you mean it's sort of like a Chicago.
Yeah, it could be Chicago or somewhere in that. I'm not sure if I've actually seen it on a map, but I always assumed that Green Arrow and Flash were not that far apart as far as cities. Yeah. And they always seem like Keystone City or what was the other name of the city that Flash protected? That they were essentially St. Louis. That's how I always imagined envisioned where those cities were at. So it seemed like Star City was in that same area, like Missouri kind of
so geography. We're talking like the Kansas City St. Louis connection.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, because I know Metropolis is Chicago, Gotham is New York.
I'd always heard Metropolis being
New York.
Yeah, they essentially, of course, it depends on who writes it, but they essentially were both New York. And like some maps I've even seen where they've tried to create the geography of the DCU that they're not that far apart from each other, really. Or it's almost like maybe New York, Pennsylvania, or New York, Philadelphia kind of relationship. Like two major cities, both on the East Coast, and pick and choose which one is which kind of deal.
Or New York and Long Island, maybe.
Could be, yeah. Something along those lines. Where maybe not that close, because those are pretty. You know, Long Island being sort of the borough of New York, but just far enough away to where Batman and Superman aren't going to pop in on each other, but close enough that they're still in that region of the country.
Right.
I think it's just them trying to squeeze in two cities with a whole bunch of history that are both pretending to be New York City.
Yeah. Alrighty. So, I guess a follow-up to Action Comics number one wound up being the final tally. That ended what? Sunday, right?
It's past Sunday, yeah.
Yeah. It was 3 million. Wait, let me look. Over 3 million.
I got to pull it up here.
It's 207,000 or something.
Yeah, $3,207,852.00.
So y'all chipped in, got it for me for my birthday, and I get it when?
When we can clear the debt with the bank, we're still negotiations of that. That's made that. In case you missed it, that was the Action Comics number one that sold. It was a CGC graded 9.0. Still had like white pages in it and just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. And you had to get pre-qualified to even start bidding on it for eBay. But 48 bidders apparently, or 48 bids at least, were thrown into the mix. So
with that, if you're the winning bidder, do you take it out of the case and read it?
No, you can't. You can't. I mean, if you do, you essentially take it down probably a third of the price, even though it's a 9.0, when it's graded in there, it's in.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I was reading that it is now the highest amount ever paid for a comic book ever.
Yeah. I'm in some way, I think we talked about it. I'm actually surprised. I thought it was going to go closer to four, to be honest with you, just because of the high grading and the rarity of that book. I thought it was going to be about 4 million when it all said and done.
That's what I thought too. Yeah,
still a lot of money. Not taking anything away from that, but I guess I just thought it may be a teeny bit more. I was gonna say that you were talking about like popping it open to read it or something like that. I did see like CGC is working. I'm not sure if they've released it yet, to where it's maybe a QR code or something like that, where you can scan on the graded book and then you can actually digitally read the book that is encased in the CGC. Grading.
Wow.
Smart.
Yeah. Because that was always my kind of thing. It was like, well, what if you want to look at the book?
Yeah.
Once you graded it, it's sealed in there. That's pretty much just for display only now. Like now they've kind of come up with the answer to that. I think that's a pretty cool little feature.
See, and say you get something like Amazing Spider-Man 304 from September 1988. I know this because I just picked it up recently.
I was going to say, why do you know the cover date for this out of the top of your head?
this particular, I picked it up because Peter Parker takes Mary Jane to a theme park in California while he's out there for a book tour. Well, the theme park just happens to be a resemblance to Disneyland. So if I got it graded, then I can't pull it out to show people this is why I picked it up.
Right. Yeah. I just happened to read it somewhere. I think it was in the latest Overstreet price guide that they were talking about features that you can get while you're with the CGC. And it said it was like a coming soon kind of feel. So I don't know how soon they're incorporating that feature, but I think it's a great little addition for people that are scared to lose the readability of their graded comic.
Well, I think if you get it graded, it should the QR code should actually be a code to redeem the book on Comicology. Even
it may be that, which would that'd be perfectly fine too. It doesn't have to be a scan of the book that just got in there. I'd just be happy with a copy of the book digitally. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Or they can, like, while they're grading it, they could just take pictures of it and send them to you.
Some shaky cell phone cam.
Well, a video of them reading it to you.
I want to say around...
That would be awesome. And then Superman punched him in the face.
I want to say around the time of Batman 75th, Comicology released a lot of the old, or DC put on Comicology a lot of the older Batmans.
Yeah, so they had like a big sale where like most of them were 99 cents too. That was a cool sale.
So, someone did The Comic Book Industry Is on Fire.
Was that
Jules?
We don't need no water. Let the burn. Burn, mother. Is that what the story was about?
No.
That's a better story than this one, though. So we should go with that one.
All right.
I saw this story. It's The Comic Book Industry Is on Fire, and it's about more than just the movies. Basically, it's talking about the sales of comic books are rising. Last year, it was $870 million, and so it's up from $265 million in 2000, which is a pretty big chunk more than it was. But I've heard some negativity about, like people that go to see comic book movies, they don't go buy the comics. And I think that the comic book movies right now, they're so big that people are doing that. They are going into the comic book stores. They are buying it. Cause that's what happened to me. Like I saw Daredevil and I loved it. I know like I'm the only person in the world, but, and then I was like, if the movie was this good, like then I have to read the book cause the book's always better. So I want to read the comics. But it's also talking about, how the movies expanded the audience beyond the core young adult male demographic to include females of similar ages. And it talks about how Comic Cons are getting more female, cosplayers and, fans and everything. So I just saw this and I was like, so excited. I was like, yes,
it is true. Like, and there's always been that debate, like, do these big blockbusters really bring in people into the comic shop door to actually, you know, generate new readership? Or is it really just, you know, more money in the pockets of Marvel or DC or whoever, in a different way? Instead of making the books, they can make this big movie and make their entire quota that they would in the comic sales. So, you know, and I think finally we're getting to the point where maybe it is paying off, because it wasn't like one movie. It wasn't like the X-Men trilogy helped get people in the door. It was the X-Men plus the Avengers plus Iron Man. You know, it was like a series of like really good examples of people to come into the comic book shop for and like say, yeah, I do like comics. You know, as more examples have been coming out, it seems like the more fuel is getting added to the fandom fire. So maybe that's what it is. Instead of one, you just need 100.
See, I would like to see this story put the spin on the other, though. You know, Fox has got the Fantastic Four movie coming out next year. And of course, Marvel is talking about canceling the Fantastic Four comic series to try and hurt Fox's the reboot. Now, is that something that's going to affect that? That, oh, here's the movie coming out, and the only thing we could get is going to be back issues. And wait, the back issues have nothing to do with the storyline.
Yeah. I think you're always going to find that, because I think, like, you know, people that didn't know about Guardians are going to the comic store to pick up maybe the new issues of Guardians of the Galaxy trades, whatever. And, you know, Guardians doesn't, even like the Guardians series that just started last year doesn't follow parallel parallel to the movie that just came out, you know. So there's right. a slight variations, which, you know, I'm thinking people aren't going to mind that much, because I think most people are starting off at the same level for Guardians anyways. They had like right. had like zero knowledge of them before, so you're just building on the creativity and understanding of it. But I will say, you know, I've been talking, you know, with the owners of Rick's Comic City, just because, you know, I work with the guys, and they've been saying that they've actually been seeing, you know, a spike in sales lately, like that usually on some days are a lot slower than others, and those days are getting, you know, those slow periods are starting to get less and less, like people are coming in different times of the day, different days of the week, not just on Wednesday or something like that, and so they're noticing, you know, they've been noticing a spike in sales recently, which is, I think, is great for any brick and mortar store, because there's only about 3,000 brick and mortar comic shops in the nation right now. So and that number was dropping quickly.
Yeah.
You know, all the time. So if it can build like maybe some of those stores, you know, or maybe somebody to want to open a store where there's enough money getting generated, then that'd be great to see the industry grow that way too.
Very true.
I think too that DC and Marvel, they have a huge opportunity where. When people go to the movies, like, they should give them something, like a comic or like one of those little, what do you call them? Little cards that are like the little hologram type things. Mm. Or what if they did like, okay, like when you show your ticket stub, you get like this comic on Comixology for free or something.
Yeah.
Because then they would read it and then go...
Well, Marvel did for Guardians opening weekend. If you and they weren't expecting the turnout, and they were almost gone by midday Saturday. But you went in opening day and opening weekend with your ticket. You were given a Guardians of the Galaxy pin.
Oh, really?
with an exclusive being the NovaCorps pin, being the rarest of the pins.
Missed that.
That actually is a really good idea. Like from Jewel. Like that's something that's kind of like the outside thinking of trying to connect one to the other, and like how do you get that movie going audience that's interested in Guardians to maybe somehow check out the book, and that's a good idea to maybe offer it to them digitally free somehow.
Yeah.
That you go to this movie, not only is your $15 going to see this movie in 3D and I have a fun night out, but we're also going to give you a $3 or $4, you know, digital comic for free as well to like add to the value. It doesn't cost, you know, really not going to cost Marvel anything, because they're going to make it on the back end. But
that's
a pretty cool idea.
Green Lantern, there was a comic for each one of the characters, for like Sinestro, Green Lantern. Why not offer one of those as a digital?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it doesn't have to be. I mean, I think it would be easier because see, those are tricky because those are directly tied into the movie. And you saw like when Green Lantern sucked, that nobody cares about those books. Nobody right. cares about the merchandise related to those because they instantly think of the suck.
Yeah, but
so that backfires on them because now you're sitting. That's why, you know, that's why it was rumored that the Green Lantern cartoon got canceled because retailers were still sitting on Green Lantern movie crap that they can't get rid of. So they didn't want to buy any toy stuff.
I'm still upset about that.
Exactly.
I'm never getting over that now. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I was hoping for like a Razor or an Aya doll, something. There was nothing. Yeah. There was nothing from Green Lantern the animated series. I was so upset.
Nobody wanted to stock it, and I don't think it was really that well solicited to begin with anyways. But you're on the hook for that kind of stuff because you got to produce that stuff. But if you give it to them digitally, like just give them a book digitally that may, you know, a number one issue or something that may want them to pick up number two, number three, number four, you know, just kind of keep on going of an existing series. I think that's a great idea, actually.
Make sure you give them one where there's like, you have to read the next one.
Yeah.
Too, because then they'll have to come back. But I feel like, I think Marvel should hire me like as their marketing person, because I think I would do really good at that. I would get some new fans in there for them. But
the only catch would be if the movie or not the studios, because Marvel owns their own studios, but like if the movie theaters then want somehow to get some sort of cut in that to print that on their tickets or something like that. That's the only catch I could see.
See, I remember seeing the original Christopher Reeve Superman when we went to the movie theater. We saw the movie, and of course, on the way out, stopping at the concession stand. And even though I got chewed out about it, I think I even got grounded because I spent the extra money and bought it. It was a rock painted to glow in the dark green of kryptonite. It was still one of those. The movie, as a kid, it got me wanting to have something. Oh, I saw this in the movie. I got to have it.
Right.
You don't see movie theaters selling program books or whatnot anymore. It's you go in, get your popcorn, get your snacks, whatever, go see the movie, come out and leave. And maybe, depending on the movie, maybe you get a pen or you get something.
You say a program book for a movie?
Yep.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What is a program book for the movie? I've seen one for like sporting events or like for if you go to a play. Have you gotten a program book from a movie?
I think they had it for Superman, where it's like a picture book with talking about the different characters, talking about
In the day of like lobby cards and stuff like that, or instead of like having trailers, you just like had pictures of what was in the movie and it'd be in like this big binder at the concession stand?
No, it was an actual bound book, sort of like what you would used to find on the newsstands as well.
I've never heard of this. I'm not even trying to make fun of you. I was like, I've never heard of getting a program for a theatrical movie.
Yeah, it's sort of like a program. And I know they sold them at bookstores as well, or at newsstands.
I think he's making this up.
It's just showing my age. That's what it is. I'm showing my age.
Yeah, because you never batted an eye at lobby cards, and I don't remember lobby cards, but I see them on collector sites all the time.
Yeah. there used to be times where you used to get trading cards in Wonder Bread.
Yeah. Is that when you got that Horace Wagner baseball card? Is wacky tobacco cards?
I had a complete set of the Star Wars, Star Wars and Battlestar Galactica Wonder Bread cards.
Oh wow!
So God, if I still had those, they'd be money.
It's amazing that Wonder Bread's still around too.
Yeah,
that is some nasty bread.
and they don't do the cards anymore.
They just give you some weird chemically altered bread. That's here you go. Keep eating this.
Didn't Cracker Jack used to have baseball cards or something? And now they give you, we got one, I don't know, it was a couple months ago. And they give you this little tiny thing and it's a sticker or something. I was like, what is
temporary this? Tattoo, this stuff? Yeah. Something really small.
It used to be you got decent toys in Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, what happened?
You get a whistle, you get a compass, whatever.
I mean, that's so cool for a little kid that they get a snack and then they get a toy. It's the best thing ever, but now you get nothing. So,
I mean, at least it's sticky enough that it stays in your teeth that you can just still eat it as the day goes on, like a cow. Just kind of, there's some more Cracker Jack, and pick it out.
Well, the question is, do they still, does Bazooka Joe bubblegum still come with the Bazooka Joe comic strip?
That's a good question. I haven't seen Bazooka Joe gum in so long, I'm not even sure.
The last time I had a Bazooka Joe gum, it did have one, and this was probably 2 years, 3 years ago.
Okay.
I think we got it. I think it was in our Halloween candy, I think, because I didn't buy it off, because it's not in any stores. I think that's where we saw it at, or where we got it at.
Were the jokes still bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Probably still using the same ones from 1960. Maybe taking out some of the racist the racist jokes and the sexist jokes, probably took those out, but which doesn't leave a whole lot of jokes probably from 1960.
Quite possibly. So I guess Monday, during an interview with comicbook.com, Joe Russo, who's one of the co-directors of Captain America, The Winter Soldier, said he felt Warner Brothers had done well by moving Batman Hearts Superman, Dawn of Justice, to an earlier date, and that he expected the film to be very successful in their own opening weekend. So that just confirmed saying, I'm glad you moved because we weren't. And we got the bigger truck.
I think it's going to work out. I mean, especially with the release schedules that both the studios put put out. I mean, they got to give time in between each of their pictures as well as really their competitors. So,
yeah.
I think if somebody was going to have to blink, and yeah, might as well. Superman versus Batman is going to be in production a lot longer than Cap 3 is going to be. So they can come out first because they should be done by then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny thing is, Cap 3 will be wrapping up their filming, and Batman Heart Superman still going to be doing pickup shots.
It makes you wonder, like, how long are they gonna shoot it? And maybe they're, because it's a long schedule, it's like we've been kind of guessing or predicting that maybe they are shooting different parts of multiple movies at once too, or two movies at once, whatever that other project is in 2016, if it be Aquaman or Justice League. Maybe they're getting some footage for that,
or yeah, doing the Back to the Future 2 and 3,
right?
Or what was it,
Richard Donner, when he did Superman 1, and he was trying to do Superman 1 and 2 at the same time, and then they told him, no, just concentrate on 1. We'll worry about 2 later, and then they fired him.
Yeah.
Never got to do 2. He was angry forever.
Well, I had heard rumor that in Batman Heart Superman that they were talking about doing a Robin Williams tribute, since he was slated twice to play Riddler. The first time, I think he was about to take it, and Tim Burton didn't get hired back because he was going to do it for Burton. And then I guess they talked about it for the Nolan verse, and then the Nolan said, we're just not going to do Riddler.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I did hear that.
But yeah, I think Robin Williams would have been 10 times better than Jim Carrey.
I agree.
It would have been interesting.
And I was kind of hoping when I heard Scarecrow for Batman Begins, I was hoping they would do one other villain. And it'd been perfect to go right along with Scarecrow, and that was Mad Hatter. And I think Robin Williams would have been a perfect Mad Hatter as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I could see that a little bit better than Riddler. I think I like that idea better. Just because, maybe it's just because there's not really a Mad Hatter live action to compare to. And so he can kind of make it his own. He doesn't have to feel like he's got to homage or play to anything that's already been done before.
Yeah, but I don't think he would have tried to homage to Frank Gorshin. I really don't.
I mean, there's always going to be like a little bit, just a little tip of the hat or something like that. But it's more like the preconceived notions of what people have for it. So like anything, you know, it's like Heath Ledger stepping into Joker. What kind of parameters was he already stepping into that he had to kind of work around to make it his own still? Right. But. Appease the fans.
And I heard an interesting theory about the Heath Ledger Joker as well, is that he was a war vet.
Oh, really? I never heard that.
That I just heard that earlier this week, and that's part of the reason why he, he was such a brilliant tactician and had knowledge of everything, and that potentially the scars came from something that happened in the war, and his personality came from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
No, I haven't heard that theory.
Or disorder, not syndrome.
Right.
So for the modern age Joker, Heath Ledger's Joker, kind of makes sense.
I mean, I think that's the lovely thing about the way that the Joker's origin is right now is, you know, he's got a bunch of different origins, whether you go with the movie ones or some of the comic ones or... But they've kind of like taken it and almost made them all sort of urban legends. So you don't really know what is actually true and what is not, and what is actually just maybe even the Joker throwing out misinformation to have his own little laugh kind of deal. So it's like this whole conglomerate is like, yeah, he could be this gangster that actually shot the Waynes, or he could have fallen in a vat of acid, or he could have just be a guy who wants to see chaos reign, you know? And nobody really knows. It's kind of like almost like taking the mirror image of the Batman, where, you know, he's supposed to be dark and scary and put, you know, criminals at unease, right. And he's like the other version of that, where nobody really knows where he came from either. He's dark and mystery and Right. I like that, where he could play up any of those different parts.
Right. Well, I will say, before we leave for the night or for this episode, former guest, well, I guess once a guest, always a guest of the show, Mike Quinn, who is owner, proprietor of Quinn Zone Studios, is involved in a contest over on themusicbed.com. And it's the Project Film Supply. Check out our story on the Weeby Geeks Facebook page. It's his short's called Dilly Squats Earth Encounter. It's a character he created for some stuff with BBC, and it was just known as Thing. And then he got the name Diddly Squat. But searching for a new home in the galaxy, Diddly Squat finds a potential candidate to live on called Earth. From within his ship that resembles a fried egg, he skims Earth's archives for knowledge of its history and dwellers. He sees war, oppression, poverty, and pain. Confounded by his findings, he tries to join the dots in an attempt to understand humans. However, his misinterpretations lead to amusing conclusions. So he's in the process of also possibly turning this into a show. So winning this contest will help with that. So
cool.
Nice.
So check out
where do you got to go to help him with the contest?
It's themusicbed.com/projectfilmsupply/stories/798/diddly-squats. That's SQOTS-earth-encounter. I would say if you just go to themusicbed.com Project Film Supply and search.
Probably Diddly Squats would probably come up with something other than Diddly Squat.
And again, that's DIDDLEYSQOTS.
Or I think we also linked it on our Facebook page.
Yes.
That's
going to be the easiest. Facebook, and I believe once it was on Facebook, it also hit Twitter as well. So check out our social media. Help support the show. Check out our affiliates listed on the homepage, like Rick's Comic City, Geek Me Box and Nerd Block. We might have some other affiliates coming up with other subscription boxes like Hero Crate, Comic Bento. We might be doing something with them. Some stuff in the works there, and we're still going to try and do. It's just been a crazy weekend, crazy week, so we didn't push it on Twitter as much. If you have a question that you would like to ask us or a topic for discussion, we will pick the best question of the week and we will turn it into a discussion on the show. So get those into us at weebiegeeks@weebiegeeks.net. And of course you can follow Marty on Twitter at
Giant Yoda,
Jules
at Jules Hendricks,
and of course me at Weeby Geeks. And until next time.
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
Rebel Force Radio.
You are on the front lines of fandom by listening to this show.
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank usher in a new era of Star Wars podcasting.
Rebel Force Radio.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay tuned for special announcements about the Rebel Force Radio official webpage.
Leaving no Star Wars fan behind.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next.
Hot dog.
Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge.
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness.
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, and comic book news? Are you looking for some suggestions on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Ken every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, your source for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?